week of Jimi Hendrix, Thanksgiving evening following the WBAI evening news and ending at midnight. Here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. That's Jimi Hendrix, Thanksgiving evening following the evening news until midnight. Here on WBAI, listener-sponsored non-commercial community radio in New York City. Here, music to soothe the soul. On radio to change the world.
Yeah, nice abrupt ending there. This is radio station WBAI in New York. It's 8 o'clock, time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. For Billy Bones was the best to say the worst. I hope that's understood from Billy Bones.
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. And yes, I was sick this week, which is why I'm playing this classic piece from the Donner Party, which just made it onto CD, apparently. And boy, you don't want to get sick in this country. That's all I have to say. I could rant about this for hours, but I'm not going to. Just imagine the worst thing you could possibly imagine and multiply, and you pretty much had it. Now, this was an interesting week otherwise, and I say that because this was the week of one of those celestial events that happened once in a lifetime, that so far I've witnessed about four of them. This one, of course, was the Leonid meteor shower, which took place last Saturday night into Sunday morning. I don't know if very many people actually stayed up until 3 or 4 o'clock a.m., but a bunch of us out on the island, apparently, more people than I thought would do it, made it out to various beaches on the south shore. You had to look into the south shore of Long Island, or actually the south shore of anywhere, the southern sky, the southeastern sky. Pretty much all over North America, people were able to catch this show, I guess is the best way to describe it, where basically you had a meteor shower, a shooting star every second or two. And it was pretty amazing that such a thing could actually happen. Astronomy is one of the other passions of mine. I'd like to just get out there and look at the stars occasionally and see planets and shooting stars and UFOs and satellites and things like that. And this is something that I don't do enough of. You know, it's something that I guess, when you're busy all the time, when you're working all the time, when you're constantly stressed out with the day-to-day drudgeries of life, you forget about the stars. And occasionally you just have to go out there and remember them. You have to go out there and just see the sky and see what's out there and realize that everything that goes on here, this radio show, this country, the various wars going on that have gone on, all of history, every book ever written, every painting ever made, every song that's ever come out, it doesn't mean anything once you get past our atmosphere. Not a thing. Not to any of those little dots in the sky. Not one of them. It doesn't matter at all. And you know, some people get depressed when they get that kind of feeling of insignificance, how nothing really matters. But somehow that cheers me up. It makes me feel like all the garbage doesn't really matter either. And also, think of all the things that are out there. Think of all the different worlds, the different pieces of music, the different wars, the different civilizations that we don't know anything about yet. We stayed out there so long and saw so many shooting stars. I'd have to say we saw many hundreds. But we stayed out there so long that the stars actually moved. You could actually tell by standing in the same place for about 3.5 hours that the stars had rotated a little bit. And Jupiter, which was up in the sky, had actually moved a bit to the west. And I just thought that's pretty cool. If you can actually find time to watch the stars move, you know, whether you're old, young, rich, poor, healthy, sick, I think you're doing okay if you can just watch the day go by, or hear the day go by, or however you want to do it. Just get away from all the nonsense for a while. With that said, we're going to get right back into the nonsense, because, of course, there's an awful lot of it going on. As we all know, it continues as we watch the country spiral down into despair and doom. We, Mike here, got a letter from President Bush today. Or was it today? Or was
I got it today. I don't know.
Yeah? What did he have to say?
He thanked me for writing about the acts of war committed against the U.S. on September 11th.
Did you write him about the acts of war committed against the United States on September 11th?
I don't think so, no. Not in those words, anyway.
Oh, okay, not in those words. Well, maybe he embellished a little bit.
Yeah. He also gave me a website I can go to.
He gave you your own website?
No. A website.
Oh, okay. He has mystical powers, but tell me what else he did.
That's what he did.
Uh-huh. What did he say?
He said, you know, in the face of this evil, that our country remains strong and united, a beacon of freedom and opportunity to the rest of the world. And our government continues to function without interruption, which I guess is supposed to be a good thing.
And what is that, a big postcard he sent you?
Well, it came in an envelope, but it was hand-addressed.
Uh-huh.
Not by him, but by someone.
It was hand-addressed? You have the envelope?
Not anymore.
You didn't bring the envelope. That's the most important part of it.
Sorry. It was postmarked in Baltimore, which is kind of strange.
Handwritten. We should do a handwriting analysis. He just did that. You sure it was one of those sophisticated computers that can do things like that, make it seem as if it's a real person?
It could have been, but it looked pretty...
I think Publishers Clearinghouse uses things like that.
It was definitely more convincing than, like, the standard cursive font.
Uh-huh.
So, I'll say it was.
Okay. Okay, we're going to bring in Bernie S. We're going to do it in a special way. Recently, I went to one of those big warehouse-type stores where you can buy, like, you know, 50-gallon drums of mayonnaise and things like that. Well, they also have prepaid phone cards sitting at the cash register. And basically, it was the lowest rate I'd ever seen, ever. 3.5 cents a minute. I mean, you can't beat that rate anywhere, I don't think. You can beat that rate?
It's
where?
Hard.
Where do you beat that rate? Hang on, Dave is here. Where can you beat 2.5?
At the deli.
At the deli?
Mm-hmm. They have like the 1.1 cents.
1.1 cents? Oh, that's got to have a big asterisk next to it.
Yeah, though. It's a $20 Connect fee. But after that, it's 1.1 cents a minute.
Surely you jest. At least a little bit. Well, this one says there's no hidden surcharges, and then there's an asterisk next to that. Of course. There will be a surcharge for all calls. No, for calls made from payphones. They don't say how much the surcharge is, though. And we're not at a payphone now, so we can actually, you know, not get that surcharge. But I want to test it, see if there's any kind of, catch to this. Because it just seemed, you know, too good to be true. 3.5 cents, and that's not a bad deal. Minutes based on U.S. domestic calling, which is what we'll be doing. Bernie S. is in Philadelphia. International flat rates are higher than U.S. domestic flat rates. That makes sense. They differ according to destination called and are subject to change. There are some examples of how many minutes you would get calling a different country, which is definitely more expensive. For some reason, Mexico is more expensive than any of them, but I don't know quite why that is. Now, the interesting thing is that you can't just wing one of these out the door and then pick it up later and expect it to work, you know, and not pay for it. You can't stick it on the side of a 2-ton container of Pampers and, you know, like it's a coupon or something like that, and wheel it out the door and expect that you can unstick it later and use the card. The cashier has to actually take this thing and key in special numbers and use computers to talk to other computers to actually make this thing get turned on. So here it is. It's in a little package. I have not yet opened it. I don't even know if it's going to work. Paid something like $15 for this. It's 500 minutes. So I think that comes out to about 3.5 cents a minute. All right. Now, on the back of this card are instructions to dial a certain number, and then I'm going to need a coin. Actually, I have a coin. That's okay. Thank you. I have a coin. I have to scratch off gently with coin the card number. That's security. That's better security than we have at our airports, I'll say that. All right.
I thought the coin was for some kind of to put in the phone.
No. Well, that should say on the thing that you do need a coin. That is kind of important. Okay, it's a 12-digit number. It begins and ends with a 6, I'll tell you that much.
Only 10 to the 10 combinations we could guess
it. Well, I've given out more information than I should have. So let's get a dial tone here. Dial tone. Okay, great. Now we're going to call the 800 number. And I have no qualms about giving out the 800 number. But you'll have to translate the touchstones here. Okay, let's see what happens.
AT&T. For instructions in English, press 1.
Para instrucciones en español, presione 2.
Let's go for English.
Enter your card number.
That's an instruction? That's a command. All right, that's my card number. But I'm turning down the volume for this.
Thank you for using AT&T prepaid card service. Please shop again at Sam's Club. Ooh. Call within the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean, press 1. To call another country, press 2. To add calling time to your card, press 3. For U.S. directory assistance, press 4. To receive your current card balance, press 9.
Let's do that first.
Cancel a call, press star 3 times. You have 500 minutes of domestic call time remaining. To call within the U.S.,
okay.
Canada,
let's call
enter the area code and number.
All right, we're going to turn down the volume there, too, so that people don't call Bernie.
Have 500 minutes of call time for the number you dialed.
Okay, that should be enough. But let's keep track of it. That way we know if we're being ripped off. I'm saving VAI a lot of money here, too, by doing it this way.
Very kind of you.
Yeah.
Well, hello.
In the interest of science. Hi, Bernie. How are you?
I'm good. You know, you sound like you're like on some kind of a really cheesy one-cent-a-minute connection or something.
Well, now, maybe that's the catch. You sound fine, but are you saying that my voice is not all it could be?
No, actually, you sound fine.
I sound fine, too. I don't know what the catch is. I don't know what the catch is.
I was surprised that AT&T is carrying this call.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. 3.5 cents a minute. What do
I
you
have
say?
I have a prepaid phone card from a competing wholesale.
Have we club. Talked a minute yet? No, we haven't. I'll call you in a second. I gotta test this out. I just want to see if they actually charge more than. What do you say?
You could have pressed star star star.
Yeah, but I want to do the whole thing over again. That way, I'll see if there's a surcharge for disconnecting. And I apologize to Bernie S. if he's listening out there for hanging up so abruptly, but I wanted to make sure I hung up before the minute was over.
AT&T. For instructions in English,
okay, we know
press
how to do
one.
This. Not really
enter
instructions.
Your card number.
It's that command there. And I'm entering the number again, which soon I'll have memorized. Okay, I've entered the number.
Thank you for using AT&T prepaid card service. Please shop again at Sam's Club.
Yeah, yeah.
To call within the U.S., Canada, enter the area code and number.
Okay, we're entering Bernie S.'s number one more time.
Have 499 minutes of call time
okay.
for the number you dial.
Okay. Sounds good to me so far. Nice, good connection, cheap calls. I guess you just got to belong to one of these clubs to get the card. That's maybe the catch.
You know, I was just cursing out Sprint TCS for dropping another one of my calls.
Yeah, I apologize. I wasn't able to notify you that I was disconnecting so fast, but I wanted to make sure we got this in under a minute.
Now, I want to know, does this bill, Emmanuel, does this bill in fractional minutes, like 6-second increments?
No, I don't think so. I think it's only in but I mean, come
how
on.
How much
already.
Would that be? How
3.5 cents. I don't know.
Well, how much would that be? Do the math.
It would be less than I'd care to pay. Let's put it that way.
6 seconds
less
would be a third of a cent.
Yeah. Well, we have a good connection. We have a good connection. We have a cheap rate here, so let's see if we can keep this going. And, you know, there's nothing to stop me from buying a whole lot of these and then selling them to those poor people that can't afford to be part of these clubs, right?
I guess so.
Nothing prevented me from doing that. Okay, we have some interesting news to let people know about, and I'm sure Bernie has some information as well. First, some interesting news from the world of WIPO. I don't know if you guys remember WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization.
Yeah, I wish I could forget.
Yeah, there's.
So it sounds like a consumer soap product.
They reached into some realm of logic that I have not yet been to in coming down with this decision in the domain name of. VivendiUniversalSucks.com. Now, does anybody know what Vivendi Universal is in the first place?
They're a music label.
They're a music label? Okay.
But probably several other things, too.
Well, somebody, to make a long story short, somebody apparently put up a site or pointed a domain with that particular name to, I guess, register their displeasure, much the same way that we've done with many of our sites. It came before the WIPO board, who... Has been entrusted to decide these things, and this is the logic they use in awarding the site to Vivendi Universal, I suppose, not to the person that says they suck. That's the weirdness here. This panel, by a majority, is of the view that the addition of the word "sucks" to a well-known trademark is not always likely to be taken as language clearly indicating that the domain name is not affiliated with the trademark owner. yes, two examples of the use of the word sucks, which do not so indicate, even to English speakers, and they really had to reach somewhere to get this, are, number one, the use of the word sucks purely descriptively, as in the advertising slogan, Nothing sucks like Electrolux. Yes, that's a vacuum cleaner, I believe. If there were a website at electroluxsucks.com, it would be unlikely to be taken as unaffiliated with the company Electrolux. I mean, you gotta hand it to them for coming up with that example. That's like, you know, okay, but you know, if the name of the company was actually Sucks, that would be an example too, you know, because then it'd be sucksucks.com. You'd be all confused. So yeah, of course, you have to like take every site that has the word Sucks in it and say, no, you can't have that. And the second example they came up with, the website of the band Primus, primussucks.com. That was so named after the album Suck on This, in parentheses, 1990, in case you want to look it up. The website of the band's lead singer, Les Claypool, at lesclaypool.com, has a link to the primussucks.com website. So, yeah, they use the word Suck, so I guess that means that, you know, people would be confused if someone said that Primus sucks. But as far as I know, Vivendi Universal did not put out anything called Sucks, and they also don't make vacuum cleaners. So there's no reason in the world for this logic to apply to that. However, WIPO decided that it did. And here's the icing on the cake here. More importantly, it must be borne in mind that not all Internet users speak English as their mother tongue. So because of this, they could be confused by anything that's put there. So, you know, you could say that Vivendi Universal is a really lousy company, and I'm not affiliated with them at all, but this is my opinion solely.com. And because somebody in some country doesn't understand that because they don't speak English, that site, by WIPO logic, has to go to Vivendi Universal. Bernie, did I miss anything on this? Is that logic clear as bell to you?
Well, if they can't read English, then nothing on the site is going to confuse them anyway, because they can't comprehend it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but they're going to go through life thinking that site belonged to them, and I don't know.
They could be irreparably harmed just emotionally by. I don't get it either.
Mm-hmm.
What's the voting record, Emmanuel, of this WIPO board as far as deciding for or against individuals in favor or against corporations or other powerful interests?
Well, it's not very good. It's really not that good at all. I don't think that they favor individuals very often.
Mm.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm impressed at this panel's knowledge of pop music. I didn't know. We're both panelists.
It's probably one of their kids that told them that.
Okay. You know?
But it's just hilarious, the logic that they use to come up with this decision. I mean, you know, at least say that, you know, they don't think that criticism is allowed in that form. At least say that. But to come up with these bizarre examples, that's something I just can't understand.
I have an example.
Go ahead.
What if what if somebody were to incorporate under the name of WIPO or WIPO Sucks?
You know, I think that we have a site like that. In fact, I've lost track of all the sites.
No. Not a site, but an actual incorporation.
Oh.
So they can't take that away from you because you say, look, I'm doing business in the state of New York as WIPO Sucks. And we sell, you know, vacuum cleaner, cleanser, you know, we're a vacuum cleaner, cleanser club.
Well, they probably just use WIPO's past decision to sue you in a regular court and get a judge to say, hey, look, WIPO said this, so you can't exist as that entity no matter what. I don't know. It's setting bad precedent, and that bad precedent will be reinforced in all different courtrooms.
Oh.
That's how I imagine it to be.
So do you think this is going to open the floodgates for any corporation who has some individual who's not happy with their product or service who'd registered a domain name, that corporation sucks.com or whatever? Do you think this is going to open the floodgates?
Yeah. I think it's a shot in the arm for those that want to quell speech. And they certainly are getting a lot of shots in the arm lately. I want to talk about security a bit, mainly security that's been going on as a result of the events of September 11th. We mentioned this story last week, and it's come up again because a few of our listeners have written to us concerning this. It's the case of someone who was prevented from getting on an airplane a few weeks ago. Let's see. Yeah, and the last off the hook, the November 13th one, you talked about Nancy Oden being stopped. When I went to the site Snopes.com, in their war section, It says that the Odin story is an urban legend. Now, this is the site that talks about urban legends. And for the most part, up until now, I've thought that they really hit the nail on the head, you know, and investigated their story. But what I saw here was really kind of disturbing. I mean, it was very disturbing. This is how it reads. Claim: Green Party activist Nancy Odin was denied permission to fly because she represents a political party that opposes the bombing of Afghanistan. Status: false. All right. Well, you see, that in itself is possibly true. We don't know why she was stopped. We just know that she was stopped. These things do happen. They don't tell you why they stop people. I've been stopped a number of times by customs agents, and on at least one occasion they said that my name came up in a computer. So you might get different answers depending on who you talk to. We read the story last week, so we won't repeat the story that we read, but I'd like to read what this site says in regard to that story. Origins: another example from the never attribute to bad behavior what you can blame on political persecution file. Nobody has to be told that traveling via air has become a considerably different experience since September 11th. Passengers have to arrive 2 or 3 hours before their scheduled flights. National Guardsmen are stationed at airports. Travelers and their luggage are subject to more frequent and stringent searches, and a number of commonly carried items such as scissors are now verboten aboard aircraft. Although the process is intended to protect everyone's safety, it can be quite wearying, both for air travelers and those tasked with enforcing the new security rules. A little cooperation goes a long way. Sometimes passengers are now selected for additional scrutiny, either by a random selection process or by matching the criteria of a profiling system developed by law enforcement agencies. Such criteria might include what type of ticket was purchased, how it was purchased, or how it was paid for. That is what happened to Nancy Odin on November 2nd. She was selected to undergo a more stringent screening process before boarding her flight. Yes, she ended up missing her flight to Chicago for a Green Party USA meeting when security declined to allow her on the plane. And yes, Nancy Odin is a representative of a political party that condemns the U.S. bombing of Afghanistan as inhumane and an act of state terrorism against a starving and impoverished nation. But the evidence to support a claim that a causal connection exists between these two facts just isn't there. Well, it would be nice if they actually went into some evidence as to just why that is, but they don't. They continue on. As mentioned above, a little cooperation goes...
The person you called is no longer on the line.
Well, why not?
To call within the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean, press 1. To call another country, press 2.
All right, well,
to add calling time to your card, press 3.
We'll call them back.
Code and number.
There's no way to redial, I suppose.
Don't be silly.
Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I could just hit a single button and get Bernie S. back.
Have 488 minutes of call time for the number you dialed.
You get 3 guesses as to whether this was AT&T or Sprint PCS who dropped the call.
Well, if it was Sprint PCS, you'd get the little beeps that told you it was Sprint PCS. So I assume it was them. I hope it was them. Was it them?
You hope it was Sprint PCS?
Yes.
I'm assuming it was, because okay. I had far more calls dropped by Sprint PCS than I have AT&T.
Okay, well, don't move. All right? That's rule number one when you use Sprint PCS is don't move. If you're sitting in a chair, don't move your hand. I was standing on the beach watching the shooting stars talking to people on the phone, and I would lose the signal while I was standing on the beach, you know, not moving. It was unbelievable. But anyway, let me finish with this story. As mentioned above, a little cooperation goes a long way, but Ms. Odin, by her own admission, was far from cooperative. She insulted the woman manning the X-ray machines by insisting they wash their hands before handling her luggage, even though they wear rubber gloves. She reached for her bags as they were being searched, and no, as the searchers don't know that you aren't seeking to grab a weapon stashed therein. She pointedly ignored or argued with National Guardsmen, and she objected to being touched with the metal-detecting wand. Is it a surprise to anyone other than Ms. Odin that an unruly, uncooperative passenger who caused problems with every step of the security screening process might be declined permission to board an airplane? And as noted, all of this can be gleaned from her version of events. The versions related by others involved are less charitable. Now, I have yet to find a version put out by her that says anything remotely resembling this. And I have a version that was put out by her I'll read as well, but listen to what the airport officials said. Thank you for writing, which implies that these people actually took the time to write to the airport security people. Ms. Oden's version of events, while certainly exciting, are far removed from reality. Her green status was and is irrelevant. The passenger in question was asked to undergo additional screening, i.e. a hand-wand examination, because the manner in which she purchased the ticket triggered a concern under the new federal screening guidelines post-September 11th. She refused to cooperate and became quite abusive. It is illegal for an airline to fly an unscreened passenger. Accordingly, the airline denied her boarding. She never got near a plane. She never went through security. No screen, no fly. It is as simple as that. The situation was entirely of her own making. What's sad is that she refuses to admit to and take responsibility for her own inappropriate behavior, looking only for somebody else to blame for her own inability to cooperate with reasonable expectations under the circumstances. 99.9% of people selected are very understanding and cooperative, and the process only takes an extra minute. Again, thanks for writing to express your concerns, and we appreciate your efforts to objectively view the circumstances. Those efforts seem to have fallen far short because there is no statement or no evidence that they ever tried to contact Nancy Oden about this and find out her version and have her answer these statements that are attributed as fact only because they come from an authoritative source. Now, maybe that is exactly what happened. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I do know that there are some questions being raised, some very serious issues and concerns. And I have heard them echoed in a number of other instances as well. Now, there's another webpage, which is kind of a funny name, thisistrue.com. Some weeks after terrorists turned several of our airliners into guided missiles, I flew and got to experience our greatly improved security. My experiences brought a lot of response from readers. I found when I started doing some research that my experiences pale in comparison to the stories others have to tell. I concluded my initial comments by saying it all comes down to the thought processes of a person who wasn't smart enough to get a better-paying job at the airport McDonald's. If you think I'm exaggerating, think again. United Security screeners denied boarding to a young man in Philadelphia because of the novel he was carrying. His mother rebooked his flight, and he came back with a new novel, a Harry Potter novel, but he was again denied boarding. Quite a few of my readers wrote to United when I alerted them to this story, most saying they plan to boycott the airline, either forever or until they hear a significant apology. A number of readers forwarded United's response to those letters. The FAA has mandated that airline security personnel follow strict procedures. At this time, we are unable to comment on any security measures. I wondered in print if the FAA would look kindly on United, implying that the FAA has provided an acceptable reading list. And sure enough, shortly after, United changed their reply, according to what readers are now sending. Thank you for taking time to express your feelings. At this time, we are unable to comment on this matter or any security measures taken. Rest assured, your viewpoints are appreciated and will be shared with the appropriate management. Better even though it's still a form letter and no word of an apology. I do think the airlines have to be careful, but they don't have to be stupid. They will make mistakes, but when they do, they need to apologize for them. The airlines are whining about how the public isn't flying. Instead of offering more value to attract passengers, which is the way business is done in America, the airlines are using the terrorist attacks as an excuse for cutting back on amenities like food service and treating passengers even more like cattle, which few frequent flyers had thought possible. Will some airlines fail in the next year? Almost certainly. But they'll point to terrorism as the cause rather than putting the blame where it really lies, directly on their own actions. Here are some instances of things that have happened from Ron in California. I fly almost every week. Last week in Chicago on United, I was selected at random for extra security screening. I was carefully wanded again, and then they went through my carry-on computer bag, one pocket at a time, until the agent reached the pocket with my Bible. She took it out, rifled the pages, smiled, and said, "I don't need to search anymore." Apparently, the Bible is on the approved United reading list, as if no one who believes in God could possibly be a terrorist, right? Yes. Shortly after this example, United security screeners in Chicago managed to let a passenger slip through with seven knives, a can of pepper spray, and a stun gun. He was going to a conference, apparently. They had found two other knives on the man, but let him through security without a more thorough check. The Chicago Tribune reported two of the security employees were fired because they stole the two knives they confiscated. If it wasn't so sad, it would be funny. Shouldn't the entire security staff have been fired for letting the guy get through in the first place? And then there's Ben in North Carolina. United is un-American, Taliban-like, enemies of freedom. Wow, the price of bad service sure has escalated in the past month. I fly a lot, and there are a lot of airline and airport employees as well as government officials out there working hard to make the best of a bad situation. through scrutiny of their practices. Though scrutiny of their practices is important, seeing them ridiculed rubs me the wrong way. Your comments seem off base and sensational. But that's one opinion. According to this writer, Ben, you've seen nothing. You have seen nothing yet. And then we go into the Nancy Auden story from a different perspective. Nancy Auden is a national official with the Green Party USA. And on November 1st, she was on her way to a party meeting in Chicago from Bangor, Maine. She never made it. In an interview with WartimeLiberty.com, who actually talked to her, Auden says she was told by an American Airlines ticket agent that she was selected for a full search. The agent even told her that her selection was not random, admitting, "You were in the computer to be searched no matter what." That's a quote. When she got to the screening area, a National Guardsman yelled at her to come over to his position. He grabbed my left arm. He started yelling in my face, "Don't you know what happened? Don't you know thousands of people died?" He went to grab my arm, and I said, "Don't touch me." I guess that's being non-cooperative. I saw an older airline guy shake his head no, and he backed off. As she walked away, I heard him say real soft, "Don't let her on the plane." She was intercepted and not allowed to board. The reason? The American Airlines ticket guy says, because this guy says you didn't cooperate with the search. When the ticket agent suggested that she might catch a later flight, the National Guardsman would have none of it. He ordered six more guardsmen to come and stop her from flying out of that airport on any airline. Was Auden blacklisted and punished for her divergent views and for refusing to submit to assault by someone representing the government who disagreed with her in the United States of America? Well, it sure looks like it. Governmental stifling of divergent views in a country dedicated to freedom of speech as one of the primary liberties guaranteed by the Constitution's Bill of Rights is not pro-freedom, and it certainly is not a valid use of the National Guard, nor excused in the name of airline security. That and more comments come from the site thisistrue.com, written by Randy Cassingham on November 9th. I just think people need to ask questions and not just assume, because something is said by an authoritative source, that it's true. And if you ask these questions, you should not be looked upon as somebody who is anti-U.S., anti-patriot, or whatever they choose to call you this week. In many ways, by thinking, you're more patriotic than any of these people who are blindly following. I'd like to know. I'd like to know if there are other people out there who have had experiences at the airports or with National Guardsmen. Now, Bernie, maybe you know this. What rights do the National Guards people have? I mean, who do they answer to?
You mean from a legal standpoint or from a practical standpoint?
Well, I mean, are they the same as cops? Can they do everything that cops do? Or are they answering to some supervisor at the airports? Can they intimidate people? Are they allowed to do the things that they've alleged to have done in some instances?
Well, legally speaking, they are not law enforcement officers.
Okay.
They are military personnel.
How much training have they had?
Is law enforcement training? Very little, if any.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, apparently, this is law enforcement that they've been drafted into, or if not law enforcement, arbitrary rule enforcement, which a lot of which the military is about anyway. But you guys... imagine if they have any. There might be some sort of crash training, like a one-hour seminar before they're carted off to the airport.
Yeah, that's fine. 1 hour. That'll
do. But they're not. They're not law enforcement professionals. They have no legal training. They are trained to kill people,
mm-hmm.
Or other subspecialties of support operations towards the goal of ultimately killing people. I mean, they are carrying weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But, and if they're carrying weapons and they're not trained in law enforcement, then, why are they there?
It's a very very good question. And, this is not to say that the people who are carrying those weapons and wearing the camouflage in the airports are not nice people. I'm sure the vast majority of them are. But when you have somebody intimidating someone, I take exception when I see people being intimidated or hear even a suggestion of people being intimidated. Someone has to step up and say something. And if somebody comes up to you and treats you with disrespect, you have to let somebody know that and not just, not just be intimidated by them. I guess that's...
I think we're learning that not just law enforcement, but the military, as in National Guard, I'm sure there's a lot of fine people in the National Guard, as mm-hmm. there are in law enforcement. The standard of accountability or the level of accountability, which was very low to begin with, in my opinion, is that bar is much lower now. or higher, depending on how you look at it. But it's, you know, the accountability is less than it has been. Mm-hmm. So these folks seem to be able to, in the current mood of hysteria, seem to be able to get away with, you know, manhandling a woman who's obviously not a violent person, and getting away with keeping her from getting on a plane without, you know, being accountable for their actions.
If that's in fact what happened, and again, I'm not 100% convinced that happened or anyone's versions happened, but I just don't like people saying this is a fact, this is how it happened, without having without having been there themselves or without having thoroughly investigated all sides of the story. And that's why I'd like to hear from other people as well who might have experienced similar things. But
Do you have high hopes for law enforcement or some official body actually investigating the situation?
No, I don't have high hopes for law enforcement doing it. I have high hopes for our common, average, everyday citizens like us doing it. Mm-hmm.
And we can hold these people accountable then? Or what ability do we as average individuals have to hold people accountable for...
We can tell other people, we can spread the word, and we can educate ourselves, since it's not being done from any other source or authority. Mm-hmm. But what you said about the accountability, I think, is the theme, because not having accountability seems to be where we're going on this whole escapade. When it all started, and we were told to believe that certain people were behind the attacks... fine, a lot of people went along with it without requiring to see any actual information, because we were going to get the information later when I guess everything was sorted out. Now we're being told that, there's not actually going to be anything like that. There's going to be secret military tribunals that will deal with this, and you'll never find out what it was really all about. Now, who is that protecting? By not having any evidence shown as to how somebody was responsible for this horrible terrorist act, How are we making the world any safer? How are we making our country any safer? If anything, we're pretty much destroying what our country stands for. Those people who apparently want to dismantle freedom that we were told about in September, they seem to be in power. They seem to be the ones that are here, that are calling the shots, that are calling for ID cards and National Guard everywhere and virtual martial law. And all kinds of other horrible things, and we have to fight this. You know, it's not allying yourself with terrorists to fight destruction of the country on another level.
Well, didn't you understand what George Bush said when he said you're either with the U.S. government or you're with the terrorists?
Yeah, that kind of bothered me. That kind of talk always bothers me. You know, this either or thing. I think it's very presumptuous and simplistic. Let's read a couple of letters, and we'll take some phone calls, 212-209-2900. This guy gets the award for Idiot of the Week, I guess. I was just wondering if someone should call for a positive use of hacking talent by employing it in the war on terrorism. Okay, that's strike one right there. Okay, hackers are hackers. They are not tools of any government or any
military
operation.
Does the return address happen to end in .mil?
No, actually, this ends in .net. I think it's just a misguided person.
Huh.
He goes on to say, AlJazeera.net is the website for the fomenters of hate in the Islamic community. Some have said that after we rid the world of Al-Qaeda, we should look at the causes of terrorism. Well, Al Jazeera is the leading cause of terrorism. I am not sure why we should wait. Well, you stupid idiot.
If you want to read an excellent piece of truly Orwellian doublethink, this past Sunday's New York Times Magazine had an article about Al Jazeera,
mm-hmm.
Criticizing them for bias in their news reporting.
How horrid it's a concept in the media, bias.
And if you've ever read the New York Times, you know what bias is. So
now, Al Jazeera, for those who don't know, is the Middle Eastern news network that has
Qatar, isn't it?
It's in Qatar, and it's brought a lot of people information that ordinarily would not have gotten information. It brings people all kinds of news that they would not see ordinarily. For instance, Israeli perspectives on Middle East issues to the Arab community, and they get criticized by everybody. But it's at least they are trying. They're the only network that has actually broadcast what the statements that Osama bin Laden says that we're forbidden from hearing. Apparently, we're not allowed to hear exactly what he's saying, because if we listen to what he's saying, we're legitimizing his position. And I find that to be an extremely short-sighted way of viewing things. You don't have to agree with somebody or even legitimize their position to hear just what it is that they're threatening to do, if in fact they're threatening to do anything. We don't know what he's saying. You know, he might be saying that, you know, he doesn't understand what this is all about, and please, you know, I'll turn myself in if you just tell me where to go. You know, he might be saying all kinds. We don't know what he's saying. All we
Emmanuel, apparently he's not alone in his ideas of what should be done about Al Jazeera, because I read, I don't know if it's true or not, but I read that a few days ago the news bureau of Al Jazeera in Kabul was blown up by U.S. military.
Yeah, we bombed their offices in Afghanistan. Now, for those people who want to get Al Jazeera, there's in addition to the big dishes, you can get it on one DSS system known as Dish Network. They have an international programming option, and you can actually get that signal. And of course, there's been moves to turn that off, to forbid that from being broadcast into American homes. Again, you know, this is what's going on in the world, and to just cut yourself off from things that are happening from other perspectives, you're basically ensuring that you will remain forever ignorant. Okay, speaking of ignorance, the Patriot Act, by the way, you can find out who voted for the Patriot Act and who voted against the Patriot Act, which is not very many people at all, by going to cspan.org and just looking up voting record for, and the keyword is Patriot, and you'll see that both of our senators, both Schumer and Clinton, voted for it.
The only senator to vote against it was Russ Feingold of Wisconsin.
Yeah, he was
so
the only
unless
one.
You live in Wisconsin, you can save some time.
Yeah. And the House version had very few people voting against it as well. Thing is, you know, I hope people realize this. This is a bipartisan effort of ignorance here. This is not something that you can just blame on the Republicans or blame on the Democrats. Yes, it's being led by Republicans. There's no question about that. But so many Democrats are going along with it blindly because they're afraid to speak out, or maybe they actually agree with this nonsense. Think of it in those terms. It's not a question of Democrat versus Republican, left versus right. It's basically ignorance versus being informed. Anyway,
Roger, what Trent Lott said the day or the day after the attack on September 11th, when he was standing there up with Tom Daschle before a microphone, and he said, "There is no opposition party." I kind of like having at least some alternate viewpoint by another political party being voiced. But I guess not.
That sounds like socialist talk to me, so we'll just ignore it. But anyway, it's, as we said, Patriot stands for, I forget what Patriot actually stands for. In
providing appropriate tools to,
something,
right? I don't know, destroy our civil liberties.
This listener wrote in, as per our suggestion, with an alternative series of words, paranoia and tyranny rife in our time. And I think that that should be what's adopted from here on in.
Well, you know, information will kill us. In the techno-terrorist age.
Yeah, yeah. And who said that again?
UPenn bioethicist Arthur Kaplan,
Who
is responding to the government printing office, has been ordering libraries to destroy things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What things are they ordering them to destroy?
Some information on where dams are, stuff like that, which apparently could theoretically be used by terrorists, but is also of interest to environmentalists who are, you know, want to know what these corporations are doing, and they can't anymore.
Maybe we shouldn't tell people where nuclear power plants are anymore, because that information could be used in a bad way.
Yeah.
All right, 212-209-2900. Let's take some phone calls, and hopefully we won't lose Bernie when we try to do this. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to address the National Guard thing.
Okay.
You know, I used to be in the National Guard.
Oh, good. Okay. You can tell us something about it then.
And, you know, you train one weekend once a month, and then you have your annual training, which can be anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks once a year. Normally, you're going to be doing your job, like I was an electrician. And you're going to be doing that job. Now, during your annual training, you do 6 hours of where you have to be in a chemical uniform where, you know, your whole body's in this whole uniform. You have to wear your gas mask for 6 hours. You may do some riot training, you know, but there's no, like, police-type training. I mean, unless you're an MP, which is the military police, or something like that, you're not trained to do what they're doing. When I heard that the National Guard were out at the airport and stuff, I'm like, that's kind of scary. You know, you got
Coming from a National Guard person, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, that really was kind of scary for me because I know that, you know, you got a bunch of people that they get together 1 weekend out of a month. That's no real training to do what these people are doing. They're walking around with loaded guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we play, you know, and you might play some war games or something, you know, where you have some enemies and you're hiding and you're shooting blanks and stuff like that. The only time you fire live ammunition is once a year to qualify with your weapon. So this doesn't make these people qualified to do what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, not as a National Guard personnel.
Now, when you're actually on site someplace, who is it that you answer to?
You answer to the captain. You know, it's a chain of command. When you're in the National Guard, you know, you have your captain and the battalion commander, and it goes up, you know, and up all the way to the president. But the difference between the reserves and the National Guard is that the governor is in your chain of command.
Okay.
So that, you know, when the state has an emergency, they call the National Guard.
How does it tie into local authorities, like the police that might be on the scene?
I don't see how it ties in at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if the police are saying one thing and the National Guard people are saying another, who wins?
Well, I guess the National Guard does, because at this point, I'm thinking that the National Guard is working for the federal government. It's
mm-hmm.
because the president may be calling them in. I'm not sure if the president is calling them in, or because I'm not even sure. Are they at every airport in the country or just in this area?
You know, I think maybe, every airport in the country, I believe.
And they're probably on federal duty now, so they're working for the federal government, and the federal government rules over everything, doesn't it?
Seems that way, yes. All right, well, thanks for your perspective.
You're welcome. Thank
All right.
You.
Bye-bye. It's good to hear from
you. Enlightening phone call.
Yes, definitely. Very, very much so. And, you know, it just goes to show that people who are actually involved, you know, are as confused as we are as far as just what exactly the role is. All right, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Emmanuel.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't want to change the subject, but if you don't mind me asking you, what's the disadvantage and advantage of having a portable shortwave radio and a desktop shortwave radio?
Well, Bernie, I'll let you take this one. Let's make it fast so we can take a couple more phone calls.
Well, it depends. I mean, if you're going to be running around and you want to listen to shortwave, then a portable would make sense. If you're just going to be sitting at home or at your office or something listening to shortwave most of the time, then I guess a desktop one would make more sense.
But they both could get the same range.
No. I mean, one that's a larger radio that's designed for home use generally will have better performance because there's more room in it for better tuning and circuitry and that sort of thing. But if it's a portable, like the one I have here is about the size of a pack of cigarettes. It's one of the portable ones I have. And it performs reasonably well for pulling in large, you know, the larger international broadcasters. But I can listen to it while I'm riding my bike. But I've got a larger Sony here next to me on the desk. It's an ICF 2010, which is you couldn't ride your bike around very easily with it, but it has much better performance. As far as pulling in weak signals and selectivity and that sort of thing. So you're really comparing apples and oranges. If you decide where it is you want to be listening, then that'll answer your question as to whether you want a portable you can run around with or a desktop. A good compromise might be a not so small portable like the Yacht Boy 400, for instance, by Grundig. It's about the size of a paperback book. You can take it traveling very easily, but the performance is not bad. It's not a high end radio, but it's pretty good. So you've
okay.
got to decide where you want to listen.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for the answer there, and thanks for that call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Peace, love, and blessings to you, Emmanuel and crew. I'm a long time listener, first time caller. Thank you all for keeping the humor in the madness.
You're welcome.
Okay. National Guard story. A sister friend of mine's daughter's schoolmate. He's 23-year-old college student walking in the 44th, 42nd Street, Lexington Avenue area. He has his headphone on, you know, he's diddy barking down the street. All of a sudden, he's snatched, thrown into an alleyway, rifle pointing to his head, two National Guard, one black, one white, telling him, what is he doing walking down the street with a Saddam picture around his neck? And the boy is baffled, dumbfounded, scared, shocked, everything. He has a picture of Haile Selassie around his neck.
Oh, my God.
And they held him in there for 30 minutes. No one to come to his aid. He was so shook that he has not. This happened about a month ago, sometime, I'd say, early, mid-October. And my sister friend called to tell me about it. And she says he didn't know who to report. Should he go to the police? Because it's like, this is the National Guard. Are they going to really do anything about it? They held him there. It's so simple. They had to go to their superior and say, look, he's walking around with a picture in this free country.
That's unbelievable.
Folks have been terrorized like this since we got off the boat.
Has this been reported anyplace? Was it finally reported to the police?
I told her to tell him and tell his mother, his father, whatever, that they should really pursue it and report it.
Even if it goes nowhere, at least pursue it as far as you possibly can and see who doesn't respond. You know, and did the same thing in the National Guard hierarchy as well, because that kind of thing, even if he was walking around with Saddam Hussein around his neck.
That's right.
It's you know, like you say, it's a free country. And
that's right.
We have to defend.
Supposed to be. You know, but that's not the story coming from the African perspective. I'm going to tell you, that's why you can't tell us nothing about terrorism, because we've been terrified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the Ku Klux. Come on, you're walking that 23-year-old. You didn't even hear them. They must have called him.
Yeah.
And he didn't hear them. He snatched. He's being body slammed into an alley, into some spot where nobody even knows.
This is what people need to be hearing about, are abuses like this, so that, you know, we can stop it before it gets any worse.
That's right, because I can see this really getting, this is blown out. This is gone.
We're out of time.
Thanks so much for what you've done and doing, and keep it up, and we need you.
All right, thank you.
All right,
thank you. Wow. Well, those calls really blew me away tonight. I'll say that. Thanks, everybody. I wish we had more time to take more, but obviously there are stories out there, and we want to hear more about them. You can write to us, email oth@2600.com, or send regular mail to Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Bernie, I want to thank you for being on the show again. We'll talk again in the future. And thanks to everybody else who participated tonight. We'll be back again next week, hopefully, telling some more interesting stories and trying to get to the truth of the matter. Stay strong. Good night.
No. Mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin de balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours, je repars à zéro.
WBAI 99.5 FM, New York.
Jimi Hendrix. Thanksgiving evening following the WBAI evening news and ending at midnight. Here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. That's Jimi Hendrix. Thanksgiving evening following the evening news until midnight. Here on WBAI, listener-sponsored non-commercial community radio in New York City. Here, music to soothe the soul on radio to change the world.